Today's reading was from the letter of Paul to Philemon. It was indeed the entire letter of Paul to Philemon. It's not the shortest book in the Bible or even in the New Testament, but it's close. 25 short verses, speaking words directly to the head of a household church in Colossae, a town in Asia Minor, modern-day Turkey, a church that Paul had founded, a church that was made up of believers, Gentile believers for the most part, people who were poor, people who were wealthy, people who were free, people who were slaves. The church in Colossae is known throughout history as an important church. It gave the early church several important bishops, including a fellow by the name of Onesimus. The church that met in Philemon's house was a church that, however, was fraught with one problem, a problem that used to exist here in the South in the United States a long time ago, the problem of slavery. Specifically, Philemon himself owned a house servant of some kind. Onesimus's name means useful. It's probably a name or a term that was given to him as a child working in Philemon's home as a house servant or slave. And this is a fellow who had run away from his master, had run away from the service in the home, had run away from his master, and had gone off and been captured, apparently, and imprisoned in the same prison where Paul was, probably in Ephesus, and met Paul while in prison. And while in prison, was converted by Paul to the way, to Christianity, to the faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And since in their culture, in their day, Onesimus, as a runaway slave, had broken the law, Paul, ever a good Roman citizen, was sending him back home. Back home to a situation where Paul knew Onesimus could be punished to the point of including death for having run away from his master. Paul was sending him back, but he wasn't sending him back empty-handed. He was sending Onesimus back with a letter. Actually, with two letters. With the letter to the church in Colossae and with this in this personal letter to Philemon. And not just to him alone, but also to the church that met in his house. So today we're going to walk through the letter to Philemon. And we're going to see what Paul had to say about being a prisoner of Christ. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus. And Timothy, our brother, he was writing from prison. Timothy was with him. So he includes Timothy in the letter as well. To Philemon, our dear friend and co-worker, to our Apaya, our sister, probably Philemon's wife, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in your home. In other words, he's writing to the head of the church and to two leaders in that church. And to that church as a whole. That's part of the reason why this personal letter from Paul is in Scripture. It wasn't written just to Philemon. It was written to that church as well. Grace, unearned favor, and peace, the end of againstness, from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When I remember you in my prayers, I always think, my God, because I hear of your love for all the saints and your faith toward the Lord Jesus. I pray that the sharing of your faith may become effective when you perceive all the good that we may do for Christ. I have indeed received much joy and encouragement from your love, because the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, my brother. In other words, I've gotten good word about you. Your ministry there in Colossae, your ministry in your home church has been good. It's been positive. It's been encouraging. It's been building. It's great. It's wonderful. It is to the glory of God. And I give thanks and praise to God for you and for your ministry there. You have had a wonderful development in your ministry and in the church there. And I pray it will continue. And indeed, I'm going to show you how it can. He continues. For this reason, though I am bold enough in Christ to command you to do your duty, yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, and now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. I could command you. I could give you an order, Philemon. But I'm going to appeal to you as an old man. I'm going to appeal to you. I'm going to make this appeal. I could command, but I'm going to appeal to you as an old man. There must have been teardrops on the original here at this part. Paul is brilliant. He knows how to write an effective letter to get someone to do something he probably wouldn't want to do. Yet I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love, not as a command, not as an order. And I could order you, Philemon, to do this, not as a command, but on the basis of love. And I, Paul, do this as an old man, now also as a prisoner of Christ Jesus. He's really twisting it, friends. I am appealing to you for my child, my son, Onesimus. I knew someone once who, when they got done reading that line, they said, "Oh my goodness, this was Paul's son." No, no, no. Spiritual child. Spiritual son. I'm appealing to you for my son, Onesimus, whose father I have become during my imprisonment. Spiritual father, in other words. Someone I've converted during my imprisonment. Formerly, he was useless to you. Interesting play on his name, Onesimus. Useful. He was useless to you. But now he is indeed useful, his name, Onesimus, useful both to you and to me. I am sending him, that is, my own heart, back to you. I wanted to keep him with me, so that he might be of service to me in your place during my imprisonment for the gospel. But I prefer to do nothing without your consent, in order that your good deed might be voluntary and not something forced. Perhaps this is the reason he was separated from you for a while, so that you might have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but now how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Oh, I love his argument. Man, he knows how to spin a good one, doesn't he? My goodness, he ran away from you. He was once useless to you, even though he was named useful. He was once useless to you. Now he's even going to be even more useful to you and to me. I wanted to keep him here with me to be useful to me while I'm in prison. But I didn't want to do anything without your approval. I don't want to force you to give me your property. So I'm going to send him back. Receive him as if it's my own heart. Hint, hint on the side, between the lines. Don't beat him. Don't punish him. Don't kill him for having run away. Indeed, perhaps he ran away so that he could be saved. Perhaps he ran away so that he could meet me and be saved. Perhaps he ran away so that he could meet Jesus and become more useful as your brother in Christ and not your servant only. What a wonderful argument he's spinning here. This fellow ran away met me, got converted. I'm sending him back to you now. Warning, he's my heart I'm sending to you. I love him deeply. So, no, if you think it's, here it gets even better. So, if you consider me your partner, your friend, welcome him as you would welcome me. No beatings, no whipping, no punishment for having run away, no death sentence, which Philemon could have executed Onesimus had he desired to. That was the law in the Roman world at that time. So if you consider me your partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that against my account. He ran away from you. If he stole anything from you in running away, and he did, he stole himself. Some people say Paul's not arguing against slavery here. Some people is saying that Paul is avoiding the question of slavery here and in fact tacitly supporting it by sending Onesimus back. Uh-uh. He's sending Onesimus back to get the bill of sale. If he has stolen anything from you, including himself, charge it to my account. I'll pay for it. In other words. And if that wasn't good enough, I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I'm not dictating this letter. This is personal from me to you. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will repay it. I say nothing. I don't say a thing about your owing me even your eternal soul. I'm not going to mention, Philemon, that you owe me your salvation. I'm not going to mention, Philemon, that you owe me your eternal soul. Well, you just did. In other words, yeah, I know he ran away. He stole himself. I'm buying him from you to set him free in Christ. I am manumenting him. I am buying him. Put it on my account. And I'm not going to remind you that you owe me your eternal soul. And in saying that, he reminds him. Brilliant, Paul. Absolutely brilliant. He doesn't quit. Yes, brother, let me have this benefit from you and the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience. I'm sure you're going to obey me here. Confident of your obedience, I am writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Hint, hint, between the lines. I'm buying him. Set him free. He's free in Christ. Set him free. One more thing. Oh, and this is the little zinger. One more thing. Prepare a guest room for me. For I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. In other words, I'm going to check up on you, Philemon. I sent Onesimus home with this letter. If you're going to obey me, if you're going to, out of love, say yes, although I'm not commanding you to, and I am just barely reminding you that you owe me your eternal soul, I'm going to check up on you. Get a room ready for me. I'm coming to see you. And I'm going to be looking around to see who's there. One more thing, prepare a guest room for me, for I am hoping through your prayers to be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends greetings to you, and so do Mark and Aristarchus and Demas and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Wow. Personal letter. Could have been an email. Good arguments, Paul. Kind of twisty, if you ask me. A little bit sneaky, even. He could have said, "Dear Philemon, I have converted Onesimus. I'm sending him back to you to pick up the bill of sale. Send him back to me. That's an order. You have no choice." He could have done it. In fact, he's kind of doing that. I'm not going to remind you that you owe me everything, friend. do it. Now, in the history of the church, we know that Philemon did it. It's not in the Bible. It's post-biblical history. We know that Onesimus became one of the greatest bishops of Ephesus. He was bishop in the 90s AD. In a period of time after the death of Paul and the development of the church, when the church was undergoing persecution. And one of the things that Onesimus did, according to some historians, and in my opinion, he did it, he knew that Paul was a letter writer. He carried two of Paul's letters, Colossians and Philemon. He knew Paul was a letter writer. And he knew Paul personally. And he was a bishop of the church. I believe that Onesimus was the person who made the first collection of Paul's letters together. Now think about it. Onesimus knew that Paul had founded churches in Corinth and Ephesus and Philippi and Thessalonica and Colossae and Galatia. He knew that Paul had pastored that whole ancient region of the world. And he knew that Paul was a letter writer. He was perfectly positioned as a bishop of the church in the 90s to go around to every one of those churches and to say, I know Paul wrote you a letter. Can I see a copy of it? Can I make a copy of it? In the early church, there is a tradition about Onesimus having made the collection of the letters that had gone out to all the various churches and publishing for the first time in the early mid-90s the first collection of Paul's letters, the very beginning of the New Testament. This slave, this servant, this runaway slave who should have been put to death by Roman law, Paul interceded for in a letter and said, look, you owe me your soul. I'm buying him from you to set him free. Philemon did it. And Onesimus became one of the strongest, most important bishops of the late first century. And to him, I believe, we owe the very beginning of the New Testament in the collecting together of Paul's letters. Now, what does this tell us about being a prisoner in Christ? It means that God can use us no matter what setting we are in, even if we are in prison, even if we are slaves, even if we are in trouble. God can and will use us if we will be faithful to Him. It means that there is nothing that you have done, there's no bit of your clay that is referring back to Jeremiah's reading today. There's no part of the clay of your body that God's hands can't remold. Onesimus was a runaway slave. He encountered Paul in prison. And through hearing the gospel preached by the apostle, he came to believe in Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. A runaway slave was remolded by the gospel, by the hands of God, into a disciple of Jesus Christ, and eventually into a bishop. Wow. If God can remold the clay of a runaway slave, if God can remold the clay of a slave owner like Philemon, if God can remold the clay of a persecutor of the church like Paul and make him the greatest apostle the church ever had, then God can remold your clay today. That's what we learn from the letter to Philemon. We get a little insight into Paul's brilliant way of letter writing, into his brilliant argumentation that here this servant, this slave, this runaway slave should be set free. Paul's buying him, putting it on his account. Onesimus is his and is indeed free in Jesus. We get an insight into Paul's brilliance. We also get an insight into what God can do with the clay of our bodies too. If God can mold Onesimus, if God can mold Philemon, if God can mold Paul, God can mold you. Open yourself to His grace today. Open yourself to His wonderful power today. Open yourself to the grace and the power in the hands of God that molded these three people and many more like them, and allow Him to mold you. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And let the people of God say, Amen.